This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Today's show is so contentious that CulturePop's Matt Armitage has only agreed to do it over the phone from an undisclosed location. He's so scared that they will try to attack him as he leaves the station. Matt, what could be so sensitive that you fear for your life?
Hey Jeff, are you sure they're not tapping this phone call?
Very sure.
You sure?
Very.
Okay, you're inside the Faraday cage, right?
They may be able to track you from podcasts, but...
Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to talk about something so controversial and central to 21st century life that I'm not sure how people are going to react. I think this will be worse than when I started calling the BlackBerry the Blueberry, back before everyone realized how rubbish those things actually were. And to be honest, we're actually still kind of in blueberry territory today, not the technoberry, but its organic counterpart. Today, I've had to go into hiding because I want to talk to everyone about superfoods and how maybe, just maybe, we're all being conned.
Dun, dun, dun. This story is sounding very much like a dramatic chipmunk. Your life isn't at danger at all, is it?
Okay, I get bored. I've been at home tending to a sick cat for 2 weeks, so you're going to have to indulge my cabin fever and overdramatic tendencies. But it is true that people take this superfood business very, very seriously. You know, we live in this world of processed food, slick marketing, and over-commercialized pharmaceuticals. I mean, when I was a kid growing up in the countryside, the term big pharma meant an overweight potato grower. But now we seem to be caught up in a cycle of materialism that, you know, disgusts us at the same time as we lock ourselves into it.
Right, so you're saying that it's more about the action itself, making ourselves feel better?
Pretty much. I mean, we yearn to get back to, you know, a simpler kind of life, the idea that we can put these pure things into our bodies that cleanse them of the poisons and the toxins that the artificial and processed nature of our lives puts into them instead. And this notion, it's kind of a romantic one. And it is true. A lot of people feel healthier when they go on to specific diets. I mean, I've done it myself. But there is a huge psychosomatic and psychological element at work here as well. So often, you know, when you go on to these diets, you alter other elements of your life as well. When people diet, they frequently increase the amount of exercise they do, or they make a conscious decision to leave work early, or maybe they decide not to binge watch Orange is the New Black with a huge bag of potato chips in their hands. Of course, the last one, that might only be me, but the key point here is that all of these changes contribute to making you feel better and healthier and more positive.
So I'm guessing you're not a fan of the juice cleanser then?
Well, again, there's not really much in the way of scientific evidence to support the idea. Our bodies cleanse themselves of toxins. That's what our kidneys and our livers are supposed to do. And if they're not doing that, then, you know, you're probably going to need urgent medical treatment rather than a shot of wheatgrass. I'm not, you know, I'm not a hater here. I love juices. I love smoothies. But I'm not kidding myself that I'm being super healthy by eating them. And with a lot of juices, especially these kind of pre-mixed cleansing ones, you have to be very careful what's in them because you can really be overdosing on sugar. Orange, apple, watermelon, and a lot of other fruits are really high in sugar, and you may not be doing anything better for your body by drinking one of these than getting a caramel macchiato.
How hard is it to quantify the effect of that various foods that, you know, we have on the body?
It's really, really hard, and I have to thank my friends at New Scientist again for helping me today. The biggest issue they have is with data. Traditional drug trials have a lot of controls, dosage, blind trials, all of that kind of thing. But when we're talking about the effect of chemicals in foods on the human body, it's really, really hard to quantify. One of the issues, according to Dwayne Meller, he's a nutrition scientist, is that we don't eat foods in isolation. every kale leaf, for example, doesn't contain the same amount of iron, and different people react to foods very differently. The way we digest them is different, and the way they react with our gut flora is also very different. So when you hear about the beneficial effects of a lot of these so-called superfoods, it's often because a test has been done in a lab on a group of cells, human cells, or by testing on mice. And that's not really a great indicator of what food does to us. Otherwise, you know, we'd be living on nothing but cheese like mice in the wild do.
So let's hit up some of the superfoods on your hit list then.
Well, New Scientist published a handy little table that shows some so-called superfoods are really no more nutritious than the non-superfoods that we usually eat. So, for example, a 100-gram serving of rocket contains more of the blood pressure-lowering nitrates than 100 grams of beetroot. Then, of course, there's kale, which is said to contain high concentrations of cancer-reducing glucosinolates. Kale, of course, is very hip and trendy and very expensive if you've tried to buy kale chips or any of these weird things that get made with it. And personally, I think spinach tastes better, but again, you know, what do I know? turns out that its fellow brassicas, things cabbage, cauliflowers, broccoli, even that most evil of Christmas vegetables, the Brussels sprout, these contain as many or more glucosinolates than kale does. And it turns out that as with a lot of these types of chemicals, you're much better off eating a wide variety of brassicas because there's a lot of different types of these things. So if you want to get the most cancer cover, you need to be eating cabbage, cauliflower, kale, broccoli, all of these things. So I'm afraid kale, fail.
Wow, you really know your greens here. So let's stay with the lean and green, wheatgrass juice.
Well, wheatgrass is packed full of oxygen-rich chlorophyll. So the theory is that by bombing this shot, you give your blood a shot of rich, rich, oxygenated chlorophyll. Except we have these things called lungs and the heart, which generally do most of the oxygenating of our blood for us. Not to mention the fact that when you drink your wheatgrass shot, it goes into your stomach, which is not the easiest route to transfer things into your bloodstream. And of course, I'm sure most of our listeners know what happens when you fill your belly with air and where it usually escapes from. So I'm afraid wheatgrass, you're a horse's ass.
That's nuts. That's completely nuts.
Okay, and on the subject, so are coconuts. I was actually a bit upset about this one, but apparently Malaysia's beloved coconut is no better at hydrating us than regular normal water. Tests with athletes after really hard workouts show that there's no difference in the hydrating qualities of the two, as long as you have enough salt in your diet. So I guess it's just the sugar in the coconut water giving your energy levels a bit of a quick boost. So I'm afraid nuts to coconuts.
Right, so no to nuts, but shall we be merry to berries?
Okay, well, thank you for joining in the fun. A lot of people are pushing the effectiveness of goji berries for everything from macular degeneration to boosting your immune system, your libido, and even protecting you against cancers and heart disease. And it's pretty much bogus, unfortunately. There's a group of chemicals called LBPs, which I'm not going to say out in their full name because I can't even say glucosinolates. They have said it wrong again. Can't say any chemical words today properly. But anyway, LBPs that are found in goji berries, they have had success with these things in mice, but there have been very, very few human trials, and it's unclear which, if any of these LBPs ever make it into the human bloodstream, because again, you're ingesting these things in your stomach, and that's not a great way of getting them into the bloodstream. So medicines derived from goji berries may be effective in the future, but the goji berry as the delivery vehicle is probably always going to be a bit highly suspect. Blueberries, on the other hand, fare a bit better. They do have lots and lots of good stuff in them, but they're really not a lot better than any other kind of berry. So, you know, eat berries. Berries are good. Berries are tasty. I love berries. They cost too much in Malaysia, but go ahead and eat them, but they're not going to make you the fittest person on the world. So, yes, we are merry with berry, but berry schmerry, I'm afraid.
What about quinoa?
The word no one knows how to say, quinoa, which makes ordering it in restaurants quite problematic. But no, I genuinely like quinoa, but apparently a lot of its health benefits are lost as soon as you wash it. You actually just wash off the chemicals that are good. And of course, who wants to eat it unwashed? That's pretty gross. And then once you've washed it, it's no better for you than rice or pasta or other grains. So eat it for the taste. Otherwise, quinoa, I'm going to have to stop doing this. They're getting very, very weak.
No, but there must be some type of superfoods.
Well, a lot of dietitians are rejecting this superfood label. They say the best thing is to evaluate all of the foods that you eat and to have a healthy balance. So, for example, chia seeds are genuinely great for omega-3s, but they work better for someone like me because I don't really like fish, so I don't eat fish. But for pescatarians, for people who eat these slippery fish, you're much better off eating fish than having chia seeds. Again, beetroot is great, but it's best to avoid eating huge quantities of it because the nitrates that are in it can actually potentially build up in your body and trigger other less pleasant things. Chocolate, or at least cocoa, can be good in moderation, but it's better to avoid the sugar and fat content by eating the kind of darker, the bitter and cocoa-rich dark chocolates. Personally, I tend to eat the 90% cocoa dark chocolate, which most people say is horrible.
Oh, I love it. They taste so good.
Exactly. Kimchi and kefir, yes, these are live cultures and they have potential to be very kind of good for your stomach and gut flora. Problem is, we really don't know enough about the way gut flora acts on our bodies, and it varies so much from person to person. So just saying that drinking kefir, for example, is great for your gut flora, it might be great for your friends, it might not be so great for you, it might be awful for somebody else. So don't expect miracles, and if it doesn't seem to work for you, then, you know, stop taking it. But overall, you know, the reason we've been eating foods like cabbage and spinach and rocket and sprouts and fish and meat for millennia is because they're genuinely already superfoods. They give us the vitamins and the minerals that we need to survive. So if anyone takes exception to anything that I've said today, I'm very, very happy to continue the conversation on Twitter. So please just address your queries to @RealDonaldTrump and I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Matt Armitage there from Culture Pop talking about superfoods, whether it's real or is it fake. We'll be right back with Geek Squawks, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.